You are now listening to the Legends Lingo podcast, presented by StudentUnionSports.com. Here are your hosts, Al and Powder.
All right, everybody, welcome back in Legends Lingo podcast, episode 235, as always, presented by StudentUnionSports.com. Make sure to check out everything going on at StudentUnionSports.com, from the daily blogs to the podcast. College football season's coming up, and if you need to know what's going on with all the conferences and all of your favorite college football teams, make sure to go to StudentUnionSports.com. We have breakdowns of all team previews for every Power 5 conference team in college football. Matty B, is you're an Auburn fan, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check this out, see what we think about my little sad excuse of an Auburn Tiger team that we got going on this year. We're going to be bad. This is not going to be a good year for us.
But if you want to see what other SEC teams and Power 5 teams are going to look like this year, make sure to check out all the info written by Chris Jones of Student Union Sports. And make sure...
Mr. Jones!
Yeah, shout out to Chris Jones. Good writer. Good writer, good podcaster.
We like him. We like him.
We do. We like him. Anyways, that was Matty B. Powder's here.
Yes, I am. Hey.
Hey. So we are here. And by the way, fantasy football season is right around the corner. No, this isn't an ad, but we're just going to talk about it. The three of us are in a fantasy football league.
Yep.
Some fuckery's already happened between you two.
So Matty B is mad that my team's actually looking good this year, because last year I had one win all season in this league, and I vowed for redemption. In the draft portion, at least, I got redemption. My team's very good, minus the tight end, so I traded my tight end to get George Kittle.
Who did I have tight end? Kyle Pitts is a good tight end. I don't know why you needed to go trade for George Kittle, who, I mean, George Kittle's a good tight end, but he's not the same tight end he was 3 years ago.
Hey, listen,
was thinking with the trade is there's probably more upside to a younger tight end than obviously George Kittle is going to do his thing, but I think there could be a breakout potential with Pitts.
And see, here's the problem. I think with Jonnu Smith now in the fold, I think that might take some targets away from Kyle Pitts potentially, but.
Yep.
And also who's the, and isn't Bijan Robinson on the Falcons too?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
rookie of the year right there.
Exactly. So I'm like, you know what? Kyle Pitts probably isn't going to get used as much as people would like. So you know what? Let me get George Kittle and get the guy that Brock Purdy will love to throw.
The red zone guy for Atlanta. That's what he's going to be.
Exactly. But anyways, three of us are in a fantasy football league with a couple other people that you might recognize. Diego Galvis, formerly of Couch Guy Sports, now on the Student Union Sports website with his podcast, the Yellow Card Podcast with Chris Jones. So make sure to check that out. Wally Jeha, another Couch Guy Sports. You might remember, huh?
I said I'm booing everyone else you're mentioning.
Okay, just making sure it's not singled out. Just making sure.
Yeah, I'm booing everyone. I booed Diego. Don't worry.
Okay.
He got a boo. Waleed's getting a boo. If you mention anyone else in that league, especially your brother, he's getting a big boo for what he did the other night.
I'll mention that in a second. But yeah, so Wally Jeha, former Couch Guy Sports streamer. Make sure to check out his Twitch channel at WallyDog619. Like, obviously, Powder's in it. Matty B's in it. I am in it. And then, yeah, we got two of my brother's friends and my brother Charlie.
Boo! He sucks. He ruined a perfectly good moment the other night. I know he watches this, too, or listens to it, too. So I know he's probably laughing his ass off right now as he hears that.
He doesn't listen at all, so we got to send this episode to him and just make sure that he understands. So, Liam, if you're listening, clip this and make sure that we can send it to my brother. But, yeah, it's going to be a fun fantasy football season. It's going to be fun to see who comes out on top, finishes at the bottom. Hopefully not me again. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Not a lot going on in Boston sports this week. It's going to be probably a pretty quick episode, kind of in and out in a jiffy. But let's see. Matty B, you got your Red Sox hat on, so let's just talk Red Sox first. So Red Sox finished this past week with a 4-2 record, lost 2 out of 3 to the Nationals, but...
They redeemed themselves.
Powder, you're a baseball guy, so I need a terminology. What is it called when a team wins all their games in a series?
It's what Brim does. It's a sweep.
Oh, it's a sweep. Okay, yeah, because that's what the Red Sox did this past weekend against those lowly New York Yankees of 2023. 8-3 win on Friday night, 8-1 win on Saturday afternoon, 6-5 win on Sunday afternoon. Matty B is literally sweeping as we are recording this, and I love it. Get all that dirt and dust out of there, Matty.
Yeah, oh, you know, it's the second time the Sox have done this year, where they've swept the jokes of New York, other than the Mets, the Yankees. Got to get my weekly dig on the Mets in there. But, you know, now the Yankees, they come here in what, like a week? We're probably going to do it again to them.
The Yankees, I don't think, come back until September because their stretch is brutal, and I'm going to talk about it in a second.
They don't come back but till 9-11.
There you go. Till, yeah, September 11th. So, but anyways, it was nice to see a series sweep. Nice to see a different type of series win, too. You had two blowout games with contributions from guys like Luis. I always say his last name wrong. Urias? Is that how you say it?
I think it's Urias. Urias.
Sounds about right.
Okay. Sounds about right. He's hitting grand slams. Justin Turner is turning into 2015 Justin Turner again and just hitting moonshot after moonshot after clutch hit, which is great. The pitching staff is doing their thing, even though the bullpen, I think, does look a little tired. But it's always great to see, you know, the Boston Red Sox take care of business against the New York Yankees. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you guys had anything you wanted to add on that, but then we'll talk about kind of their gauntlet that they have coming up.
It's a good thing to see the Red Sox take care of business of a last place team like they should have with the Nationals, but it's always fun to watch the Red Sox sweep the Yankees, no matter if the Yankees are going well or they're not doing great. Like this year, for first time in a long time, the Yankees are in last place this late in the season, but it's still good to see the Red Sox take care of business against them.
It's always nice to see a Sox win. I'm just gonna, that's all I'll say. It's always nice to see them beat the, I can't think of any other word that rhymes with Yankee. So I'll go that's nice to say. So I'll say Yankee.
Okay. And honestly, you think about it 5 years ago. So not even 10, 15, 20 years ago. I know everybody wants to compare the Red Sox and Yankees to like the early 2000s Red Sox and Yankees rivalry when it was really at its peak. But guess what? It's not at its peak anymore. Even 5 years ago, there was still a little bit of that rivalry. Now, They're fighting for the doormat of the AL East. I think, obviously, we can agree in 2023, it's the Yankees that are the doormat of the AL East.
Yeah.
But the Red Sox are only in fourth, and they have to watch Tampa and Baltimore take over this division because Baltimore drafted a lot of young guys and developed a lot of young guys, and they're really good. And Tampa's Tampa. They're always going to do their thing with, you know, they're basically the Oakland A's of Florida. So there you go. And now the season's going to be tested because now let's talk about this gauntlet of a schedule for a second. Excuse me. So the Red Sox play 4 in Houston against the Astros, 4 at home against the Dodgers this upcoming weekend. And then next week,
3 against the Dodgers.
Didn't I say 3 or did I say 4?
You said 4.
Did I say 4? Okay, my bad. So 3 against the Dodgers and then 3 at home against the Astros. So 4 at Houston, 3 against the Dodgers, 3 against the Astros at Fenway. Yeah.
So whatever the Red Sox did to piss off God, I'm going to ask them to not do that again. this is brutal. This is absolutely brutal. You got the Cheatstros will probably, you know, they beat the shit out of us last night. Probably going to happen again tonight. They got the Dodgers coming up. It's, like what did the Red Sox do to deserve this? Like who did they piss off? Manfred? I mean, it doesn't take much to piss him off. All you have to do is exist and breathe, but
very true.
I think this little gauntlet that they have, I think this is going to determine their playoff fate, honestly. Cuz you're four back right now on the wild card. You still got to hop over Seattle, still got to hop over Toronto. They got to pull some wins. They got to find a win somehow.
They do.
They're gonna have to steal a couple wins on the road against Houston, and then the Dodgers. It's gonna be an emotional weekend this weekend with the Dodgers coming to town with Mookie making his first return since the trade. You know, is he gonna be booed? Is he not gonna be booed? We'll see. But
And then not only that, not only Mookie, but think of all the other ex-Red Sox that are coming back. Kike Hernandez, JD Martinez, even though he's not going to be playing because of an injury, so he's going to be out for this weekend. But that, you know, he's still coming back. Dave Roberts' manager, Ryan Brazier.
Joe Kelly.
Joe Kelly. Yep, a lot of former Red Sox. It's basically the Red Sox West.
So that's we're watching spring training this weekend then, basically. The Red Sox versus essentially. The Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, except but it's like at the end of spring training.
All the way in the trash pit of Florida. All right, cool.
Yeah, it's essentially the end of spring training where the starters start to rev it up a little bit in preparation for the season. But look, you already lost game one. You lost on Monday night to the Astros, 9-4. Adam Duvall hits a 3-run homer in the top of the first inning, gets you up 3-0. And then James Paxton just craps the bed. And James Paxton, I don't know about you guys if you've really been paying attention, but James Paxton has not been himself in the month of August. He has a very, very high ERA. I think Steve Peralt put out the tweet. Shout out to Steve Peralt. We got to have him back on the podcast. But in July, his ERA is well above 4. And it's just, it's brutal to watch him pitch because he leaves pitches middle. He leaves pitches middle in. And then, you know, he's not getting anybody chasing. So you need James Paxton for this stretch run. Yeah. And if you want to survive this gauntlet, the absolute worst that you can go is 5-5 to stay where you're at. That's the absolute worst. You go 6-4 or 7-3, then you're like, okay, now you got some. But until then, this is just what we're going to expect. Ride the highs and lows, gentlemen. Does anybody else have anything else they want to bring
they're
up?
They're going against Verlander tonight. This is going to be tough.
It is, especially with Tanner Houck making his return. And Jaron Duran's on the IL now with a toe injury. So they just can never be fully healthy. It just never happens.
No.
They were so close, and then Duran goes down. But
They need to steal this game tonight, I think.
They do. Powder, you got anything you want to add?
No, just like you guys kind of talked about, three tough series in a row with Ari dropping one of them. And this is probably, like you said, Al, the chance to, like, their big moment in the season, if they're going to make a push for the playoffs, it has to be now or it's never.
Well, it is now or never, literally. You're going to determine your season after this 10-game stretch. Because after that, in September, and not in any particular order, but you have a couple easy series. You have the Royals, you have the White Sox, you have the Yankees, which you should take care of business in those series. But besides that, you got to play the Rays, and I know they have a lot of stuff going on. Shane McClanahan going down till 2024, all the stuff with Wander Franco. And then the Orioles are playing like the best team in baseball, and they are coming to Fenway for a 3-game series. That's not an easy series anymore like it was back in the day. So hopefully you can survive. Hopefully you survive this 10-game stretch. You can't go 3-7. You can't go 4-6. You can't go 2-8.
The Red Sox do this thing, though, where they just show up. They show up against good teams. So maybe last night was the lemon of all this, and they're going to surprise us and pull off a miracle, sweep the Dodgers this weekend. Not happening, but maybe they'll surprise us, not lose the rest of this gauntlet that they have going on. And all of a sudden, we're going to be the hottest team in baseball.
Maybe.
That's wishful thinking, I know. But
it is, but listen, I'm right there with you. Right there with you.
I'd love to see the Red Sox in the postseason this year. I'd go out of my way to make sure I can watch them on whatever streaming service I'll end up happening.
All right, but enough of the Red Sox. We know what the deal with them is. But before we talk Patriots, Powder, you know what to do.
Powder, yes, I'm hungry. Hit me up.
If you're hungry, I have the best place for you. A&B Legends Lingo is graciously sponsored by A&B Kitchen and Bar and A&B Burgers. I talk every week about A&B Kitchen and Bar. It's located in Boston, Massachusetts, right across the street from the TD Garden. It's the best spot to meet up before or after a Bruins Celtics game, concert, whatever you have at the TD Garden. Or if you want to go be in the atmosphere, you don't have tickets, but you want to be right next to the crowd, go A&B Kitchen and Bar. They have great burgers. They have meatloaf. They have pasta. They have kind of whatever you want. They have great local beers. They have soda, wine, kind of whatever you want. It's a great family place if you want to go with your family. But like I said, if you want the atmosphere of the Bruins or Celtics during the season, which is coming up real quick, it'll be here before you know it. That's the place you want to meet up. And when you go there, make sure you tell them the Legends Lingo Boys sent you.
Shout out to our friends always of A&B Kitchen and Bar, A&B Burgers. Good food, great drinks, even better atmosphere and time. So shout out to our friends at A&B. All right, gentlemen, you want to talk some Patriots?
Sure.
Let's talk some Patriots. So the Patriots played their second preseason game at Green Bay against the Green Bay Packers and ended up being a really good week, especially for the offense. It looked like they were finally clicking, especially on the Thursday joint practice before their Friday day off, before the Saturday night game. And just to kind of go over a couple quick things, the quarterback battle is no longer a battle, but just to throw out some stats, Mac Jones, 6 for 9 for 52 yards, including a strip sack fumble from his blind side. Bailey Zappe, 10 for 22, 117 yards, 1 passing touchdown, 1 rushing touchdown. Other than that, Ramondre Stevenson, 4 rushes, 27 yards, 1 touchdown as well. Kayshon Booty, that's right, Kayshon Booty, 2 catches, 49 yards, 1 touchdown on a 40-yard play from Bailey Zappe. So there were some good things. Patriots win the game 21-17. Unfortunately, the game was suspended after Isaiah Bolden went down with an injury. And we're glad to hear that he is recovering well. I mean, he has a concussion. It's not great, but it could have been a lot worse. Could have been a hell of a lot worse.
That's all he came away with was a concussion?
That's what they said.
Oh.
Yep.
I mean, no one, I would not wish a concussion upon anyone, but I feel like that is best case scenario in that situation. Well,
absolutely, it is.
Career-ending neck injury right there.
Absolutely. Dude is like the dude was laying unconscious on the ground.
He wasn't moving. Yeah, no, my first thought when I saw that was like, oh, it's Hamlin all over again.
Yeah, DeMar Hamlin, literally. Mm-hmm. I mean, they suspended play with about 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter, which was the right call.
Makes sense. It's preseason.
Yep. The Patriots and the Packers agreed to suspend the game. Patriots also canceled their joint practices this week with the Tennessee Titans. They will just play the Titans in their final preseason tune-up on Friday night before their week one game on September 10th against the Philadelphia Eagles in Foxborough. One takeaway I had from the game, and I just want to hear one takeaway that you guys had too. It was good seeing the first string offense out there and them actually looking like a competent offense, especially in the red zone. They get a fumble on a bad snap that Jordan Love just completely mishandles. And then Mac Jones hits Kendrick Bourne on an RPO, pass for 13 yards, gets them down at about the Green Bay 5-yard line, third down, tries to hit Parker in the back right corner of the end zone, pass interference call, and then you run in with Ramondre, and you actually score in the red zone, which was something you could not do in 2022. That is significant. I know it doesn't seem that way, and it seems like we're joking, but we're not. That was actually a really good thing to see, and believe it or not, I think Mac actually looked pretty good. I think that there was another throw to Devontae Parker that missed him by literally a yard. It was like 1 yard too far, but it was pretty much right there. He had Hunter Henry on a seam route down the field. He just has to convert that. It was a bad throw, but a good read and a good look. Just has to convert the throw. So I was very encouraged by it. I was very happy by it. So that was my big takeaway. I don't know if you guys wanted to add kind of anything. Powder, I'll let you go first, and then Maddie will go after. But Powder, anything stand out to you in this game or watching highlights or anything like that?
I was going to talk about the first string offense too, but basically that's my biggest point, just seeing them go out, score a touchdown early to make them feel good. And obviously them not playing the first game, just get that groove going in game. Obviously they only played a very short amount of time, but to see them score in that short amount of time's big.
Maddie.
I'm pulling up a tweet from our friend Alex Barth of 98.5. Because this is the takeaway I also had with him. He said, the good news, besides the tackle position, the Patriots starting offense showed a ton of positive signs tonight. The bad news, an NFL offense needs tackles. My takeaway is we're now 2 games in. That offensive line is still not looking great.
Yep.
If Mac wants to get back to what he looked like his rookie year, being a rookie of the year runner, offensive rookie of the year runner up to Jamar Chase, he's gonna need protection. And through two games, oh boy, I feel like this is gonna be the week where they are just gonna hammer in any kind of thing that they can do on the offensive line this week. I get it. When he was hurt. Everyone seems to be hurt on that line so far this year. You know, David Andrews is a fossil. But still, need to figure it out. Otherwise, week one, let's see, Carter, the other big guy from Georgia that the Eagles have. Let's see, Nolan Smith, also from Georgia. Basically, the defensive line is going to feast on Mac week one if they don't figure it out now. This is the week they need to figure it out.
And that's why they're doing a lot of quick stuff, a lot of screens, a lot of RPOs to try to fool the defense and everything, because they know their offensive line is their glaring weakness right now. Mm. And I actually saw another stat that said that last year the Patriots ran RPOs on about a little more than 3% of drives in the preseason, and this year they're up to, I think it was like 18% or something like that, but it was a significant difference. And that significant difference is good for third in the preseason in most use of the RPO. Bill O'Brien loves the RPO system, using a lot of RPO in his offensive system. Did it at Alabama. The Patriots have done it for years. So it's a natural fit. And now with the wide receivers, you have six wide receivers on this team as of right now that are competing for roster spots. You have Juju Smith-Schuster, that's a lock. You have Devontae Parker, that's a lock. You have Demario Douglas, that's pretty much a lock. Kayshon Boutte, that's questionable. Kendrick Bourne, that you would think would be a lock, but is also questionable. And then you have...
Why are you calling Kendrick Bourne questionable? He's a lock.
You'll see why in a minute. And then Tyquan Thornton, also potential lock. But, sorry, not potential lock. I misspoke. Not potential lock. Potentially on the bubble. So you got six wide receivers. You have two that are most definitely making the roster. You have another one that's a pretty strong likely that he's going to be a lock for the roster in Douglas. And then you got three other wide receivers. Now, in this offense, do you carry all six receivers? And I just want to throw that out there before we get into our next topic. Do you keep all six receivers on this roster? And that's not even counting Malik Cunningham right now.
I think one of them goes to the practice squad.
I have to agree with that.
Who is it?
Thornton.
You think Tyquan Thornton ends up on the practice squad?
I think he's been quiet all camp. He's, he only looked good in OTAs when, don't really try in OTAs. Now you start trying in training camp, going up against other guys who are competing for roster spots. It doesn't help that he's injured either right now. He's had a very quiet camp, and this is not good for someone who is a second-year player, 50th overall pick. New offense. I get it, learning a new offense, but still. The rest of the offense seems to be clicking. Why isn't he?
It's a good point.
I get it. He got injured in Green Bay with a shoulder injury on a pass play to him, but still. It's like he's barely getting targets as is. It just seems like he's just either going to be the true deep threat or he's just going to be someone where he might just be a new Slater situation kind of thing where he's technically a wide receiver, but he'll be used on special teams.
Right. No, it makes sense. Absolutely makes sense. I think for some reason they're going to keep all six in the roster, but I think like you, I think they're going to keep five on the 53-man roster, and then they're going to put one on the practice squad. And yeah, the likely candidate is Tyquan Thornton. But also, could they be making a move before the season starts? Now, this is where the next topic is going to come into play. So on the old X app, which I'm going to call Twitter. So on the Twitter app, there was an article that got pushed out by FoxSports.com. And the name of the article is NFL Trade Candidates, 9 players who could be dealt before 2023 season begins. Had some interesting names on it. Jonathan Taylor of the Colts, which hopefully he goes to a team that That's actually wants him. At this point, yes. Defensive end Derek Barnett of the Philadelphia Eagles. Running back Antonio Gibson of the Washington Commanders. Tight end Daniel Bellinger of the New New York Giants. Quarterback Trey Lance of the San Francisco 49ers. That was an intriguing one.
That's a fun one.
And, oh, this is an interesting name. Kendrick Bourne of the New England Patriots. Now, these don't mean anything, but I just thought it was interesting that he got put in there. Let me read you a little tidbit from this article just so that way you know what we're working with. And again, this comes from FoxSports.com, from the FoxSports.com staff. Quote, New England has been much higher on Bourne this offseason than last year. That's not saying much, given that Bourne practically worked his way off the depth chart under the leadership of offensive play caller Matt Patricia. With Bill O'Brien now serving as the Patriots' OC, Bourne looks to be in good standing, but that's also what makes him a solid trade chip, and just a little bit more. He has solid value given his potential and modest contract, $5.5 million against the cap for his next team. The Patriots seem to like the two rookies they brought into the building, Douglas and Booty. They have another young developmental receiver in second rounder Tyquan Thornton, and they have two veterans who just got new contracts, Devontae Parker and Juju Smith-Schuster. New England can afford to wave goodbye to Bourne. A possible destination? The Houston Texans. And then they just list off a quick reason. C.J. Stroud's going to need help. Former Patriots executive and current Texans GM Nick Caserio might see Bourne as a one-year stopgap to bring veteran experience to a group that's compromised mostly of first and second-year players. The details of the piece in that specific section about Kendrick Bourne, they do make sense. Kendrick Bourne's in the final year of his three-year contract that he signed in the 2021 offseason. Kendrick Bourne was buried on the bench last year by Matt Patricia, and nobody could figure out why. That's one thing I would love to ask Matt Patricia if I ever ran into him. Be like, why did you not use Kendrick Bourne? What didn't you like about him? Give me specific reasons.
I know why he did that.
Because he's good?
Because he was late to a meeting or something like that in the week we played Detroit in the preseason last year, and Matt Patricia has to suck Bill Belichick's ass all the way up to the point where he can just feel the back of his teeth. And he says, Patriot way, punish a guy that's late for a preseason meeting in goddamn August. So that means now in December, I'm still going to punish him for that.
Which would be stupid. You punish him for the week and then you move on. You don't do that for an entire season. That is BS. And I'm not saying your reason is. I'm saying if that was his reason for doing that.
Probably was, honestly. Because look at whatever Bourne was on the field last year, the offense actually looked like an offense.
That would be just flat out ridiculous. So let me just ask you guys this. Do you guys buy anything into that Fox Sports article? Do you think that there's any chance that before the regular season starts that Kendrick Bourne gets traded?
Well, let me put it this way. This is as real as Stephen A. Source is saying Stephon Diggs wants out of Buffalo.
So take it with a grain of salt, essentially.
So basically, no, 0% chance this happens. They're going to keep all. I think they'll keep one on practice squad, keep five of the receivers. No, if they get rid of Kendrick Bourne, they're foolish. Unless you're getting a receiver back that's of his quality or even better.
So get John Metchie the third, essentially.
Yeah, get an unproven rookie. Yeah, or a second year player, I should be saying.
Hey, listen, had the connection with Mack at Alabama. Anyways.
It'd be stupid if they did that.
I agree. I wouldn't like that movie either, truthfully. Powder?
No, I don't see him trading him. I think they want to try and keep the roster what they have, like you said, maybe keep all six receivers, have one in the practice squad, and just see how it goes. But no, I don't see him trading him.
See, I don't see them trading him at the start of the season. But in the middle of the year, if Bourne's producing and the Patriots aren't going anywhere and they know he's going to leave anyway in the offseason, why not trade him at the NFL trade deadline and try to get some picks back or try to get, a young player or something like that? Like, get something for him if he's doing well and he can be profitable somewhere else. That's the big thing. Get some sort of value for him if he can. So do I think he lasts the season with the Patriots? Probably, but it wouldn't surprise me if they let go of him midseason in some way, shape, or form, even if they waived him. But I really hope that's not the case because I like Kendrick Bourne. I think he could have worked out really well here, especially last year. He worked out well his first year. And I think he's going to have a role in the offense this year and a prominent one at that. But anyways, just something really quick to bring up. And then obviously Patriots are playing the Titans in their last preseason game before their week one tilt with Philadelphia. First of all, do we think the starters even play at all?
It's dress rehearsal, so I hope.
But see, it's the last preseason game. You don't want guys getting banged up.
Yeah, but typically the last preseason game has always been dress rehearsal.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I see him playing a little bit, probably similar to what they did this past week.
Maybe do the whole quarter and that's it.
That's what I was thinking. Similar to what Maddie just said. Play the whole first quarter, maybe into the second quarter, and then you bring out all the starters and you say, all right, we got to get ready for Philly. And then you let Bailey Zappi and you let, you know, Andrew Stuber on the offensive line and, you know, all the backups play. That's the big thing. Keep everybody healthy and get everybody ready to go for week one.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Gesicki came back to practice today, so that's a good sign. Red non-contact jersey, but still good sign that he's back.
Yeah, we got a defensive tackle today instead of trying to help out our offensive line. Good for us.
Ty Montgomery's back at practice, too.
Trey Nixon's not at practice anymore.
Because he got waived for the dude that the Patriots brought in.
Yeah, Marquand McCall from the Carolina Panthers, and Trey Nixon waved to everyone.
Yeah, bye, Trey. You're hurt, but bye-bye. You gone.
It's a shame. He's another player. He's another what-if. See, he was good in college. He was a good late round steal for the Patriots, and he's another what-if.
Last pick of the Ernie Adams tenure.
Yeah, add him to the list of what-ifs for receivers.
Pretty crazy. Any player that you want to watch in this particular game?
I'm looking at Kayshon. I want to see if he can build off of what all the good success that he had in Green Bay. Let's see what he can do now because they're going to play him again.
Okay. Powder?
I think any rookie or any bubble guy that barely gets playing time in Tennessee, I think that means they're probably leaning towards a lock.
Okay. I just kind of want to see more, not just a player, but see how the offense, just another week, see how the offensive line looks, see if they made any adjustments, see how they can get better, and kind of see how the first-string offense looks, because like we've said every week, that's the biggest question mark for the Patriots, and see if they can build off of something for us to maybe have a positive outlook going into the regular season.
Okay. I'm going to go with Ezekiel Elliott. I just want to see what he looks like. I just want to see him in a little bit of game action. Just to see what I'm going to be prepared for in the regular season. So give me Zeke on the football field. I think that's pretty much it for Patriots stuff. Anything else you guys want to bring up before we get out of here for the week?
Got breaking news in the MLB, but, you know, nothing Red Sox related.
Yeah, I just saw that. The White Sox released fired their president of baseball operations and their GM.
Oh, really? I'm trying to find
out. They're punting on the season.
Yep. Oh, they punted it. They punted at the deadline.
They messed it up, so now they're going to punt again.
Double punt.
Yeah, double punt. It's like a double doink, but a double punt.
Got it. No, it makes sense, but okay. Red Sox in the thick of things. Patriots getting closer and closer to football time. Real football time, gentlemen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, time to scream at our TVs for 3 hours every Sunday.
Yay.
Yeah. Yay. And then Al for immediately to give me a game analysis of a game that I just watched right after.
As always, make sure to rate and subscribe to the Legends Lingo podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, and everywhere else where you can get your podcasts. Make sure to check out everything going on at studentunionsports.com. Again, previews of all the Power 5 conferences, all teams in the Power 5 conferences, courtesy of Chris Jones and the Student Union Sports blogging staff. Make sure to go check that all out at studentunionsports.com. We'll be back next week. And I'm going to be no longer in my 20s.
Oh, Al's joining the 30 club tomorrow.
For Matty B, that's Powder. I'm your host, Al. For the last time in my 20s.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow's your birthday. Jesus, forgot for a second.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And we'll see you next week for episode 236.
Yes, sir.